Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the show on what you need to know about planning a vacation. I'm Charissa Sebastian, a coach, speaker, and writer, and I'm a certified life and leadership coach for women, and I hold my certification through the International Coaching Federation. My passion is helping women break free from being stuck, overwhelmed, and stressed, mainly in their professional lives and in the area of work-life balance, to live a life of passion, purpose, joy, and fulfillment. You can find more information on me and what I do on my website at www.charissasebastian.com. That's spelled SharissaSebastian. I'd like to take a moment to highlight a wonderful women's one-day spa retreat coming up on Saturday, March 14th in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You can find out more on my website if you click on the events tab, or you can go to www.stopsmilebreathe0315.splashthat.com. And that URL is also on the same page that you use to access the show. Stay tuned until the end of the show for a special discount offer for this event. So let's get into today's show, sponsored by Audible.com. We'll be talking about what you need to know to plan a great vacation. I'm joined by my good friend and travel planner extraordinaire, Yvette Allen. Yvette, welcome.
Thank you, Charissa.
Would you like to take a few moments to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Yvette Allen. I am a certified project manager by trade, and on a part-time basis, I plan trips for friends and family. My passion is planning anything, seeing things come to fruition from all the small details with speaking with someone, whether it be for a wedding, a birthday party, or even a trip. So that's me in a nutshell.
Great, and I've got to tell everyone that I've had the pleasure and the privilege of working with Yvette, and she is just incredible at planning and taking care of all the details and making sure that everything is taken care of. And, of course, on the travel side, wow, she's just an expert in that area. So I'm so excited to be on the show with her today, talking about one of my favorite topics, which is travel, with one of my favorite people in the world. So this is just really exciting. So thanks, Yvette. Thanks for joining
me
today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So before we jump into this topic, I'd like to invite our listeners to participate in the discussion. Feel free to dial in at 646-716-9397. Again, that number is 646-716-9397. We would love to hear from you if you have any comments or questions. So, Yvette, tell us how you got started in the area of travel planning.
It's actually a very funny story. My husband, Vincent, came to me with the idea of, you know, planning trips, and I can do it all online. I'm like, that sounds like something I'd be interested in. But the plan was for us to create this business together. But after seeing the details and how much was involved with it, it became an Yvette doing the business by herself. So he introduced me to it, but then he wasn't so interested after we got involved with it. But I still maintained my interest and kept it going.
Great. But I bet he enjoys the vacations that you plan for you guys, right?
He does.
That's awesome. So what do you love about what you do. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe your focus is on planning trips for groups more so than individuals, right? Or smaller families or smaller groups. So larger groups, is that right?
That's correct. My focus is on groups, not for any particular interest, but it just is much easier to plan groups versus a bunch of individual trips. I can still do individual trips. They're just not my preference. But with planning groups, you know, thinking about everyone having such busy schedules, it's hard to get your family mm-hmm. together just for dinner sometimes. But with a group trip,
right.
you can plan it so far in advance that, you know, even up to 18 months sometimes, that allows you to set a date so far off that folks don't already have something planned, or they can say yes to a date that far off. And since there's so mm-hmm. much time, it gives them plenty of time to save up for the trip or make payments on the trip, and, you know, mm-hmm. because we all have our budgets we have to deal with. So groups are so much easier,
right.
and it's so much fun, you know, to get your family and friends together.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a good point that you made about budgeting, too, because I think sometimes that can be daunting. I know from just talking with a lot of people who expressed a passion for travel, that's one of the main things that comes up is, you know, well, saving to time, but having the budget and figuring out how to put that in the budget. So having to plan it out that far in advance just makes it so much easier to be able to do rather than waiting until, you know, until the last minute.
It really does.
Yeah. So you mentioned 18 months out, and I'm just curious, how far in advance would you recommend planning a trip with a big group like that?
With a big group, as far in advance as you can, and it kind of really depends on the individual that's coming to me requesting to put this trip together. So if you want to be mm-hmm. sure to get the dates you want, the flights you want, the room types or cabin types you want, you should plan as far in advance as
mm-hmm.
possible. But if you are a risk taker, you can wait up to a couple of weeks prior to your desired travel date to plan and book your trip. But it has its advantages and disadvantages. The advantages are that you may be able to get what we call some last-minute deals where the pricing is less expensive than when someone who's, say, booked a trip a year in advance. So those type of deals happen mm-hmm. when hotels and resorts are trying to fill up their space. So, you know, sometimes you can catch those last-minute deals. But the disadvantage is you may have to either settle for a flight that, say, requires a layover, an overnight layover, or settling for a room or cabin type that you don't want, which can sometimes be a higher price or a less desirable location at the resort or on a cruise ship. So you have to kind of weigh those options.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can plan as far in advance as possible, it works out best because your dates dictate everything. The dates dictate your price. The dates dictate what the hotels and vacation packages are selling. It just, that date determines everything.
Right, and that makes sense. Especially when you're dealing with a larger group, I could see where it would be really risky to wait until the last minute because you need to be able to get that booking for, you know, a big group of people. That would be probably another reason why you really don't want to wait until the last minute for bigger groups especially.
Absolutely.
So, and I know some, and I'm just curious about how, you know, with different sites or different companies or vacation packages, there's a certain time period before the, you know, your booking date that you can actually book. In your experience, what is that? Is that like that about 18 months out, or does it vary?
It varies. It truly depends on the seller, the vendor. And so say, for instance, if you wanted to book a vacation package, just a flight and hotel to a resort on,
mm-hmm.
let's just say, Jamaica, you would have to book that. Well, let's just say, let me change that. Let's say you book that with a particular supplier. One supplier may say, hey, well, you can book this a year in advance. You can put a deposit
mm-hmm.
down, but your final payment is due 45 days prior to your departure date. But then you have others that will, and that's a pretty good deal. I mean, you know, you get to kind of book your trip, and it's holding it for you along with your airfare. And so you know that you have the dates you want, you have the flight you want. But then there's
right.
others that want payment upfront because, you know, airfare, it's hard to hold an airfare at a certain rate because those prices change daily, sometimes hourly, depending on the season. So it just mm-hmm. kind of depends on the particular vendor and what their requirements are. Now, with a cruise ship, sometimes you can plan a cruise up to 2 years in advance, depending on the cruise line.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you a lot of time
right.
to select the rooms, to get your information out to your clients, and they can make payments and look forward to this trip for the next 2 years and just plan for it that far out. So it just kind of depends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was our experience when we planned the Disney cruise. I believe I did book it about 2 years out. And that was interesting. I mean, on the one hand, it was awesome because, you know, I like to get things done in advance anyway. So knowing that it was already booked was great. And then the other big advantage was, like you had mentioned before, spreading out those payments so that, you know, we could get everything that we wanted, knowing that we had the, you know, the full 2 years to kind of plan the payment of that vacation. So that worked out well. And then also they communicated with us at least once every other month in the beginning, and then obviously more frequently so that we knew at what points we could, say, plan our port excursions and meals and, you know, different things like that. So it really helped that process that we had booked it so far in advance because we had time to kind of spread all of those things out.
Yes, and I will say that Disney does a very good job at that. They are probably the only cruise line that will do something like that. They have such a high expectation for their customers. They are an
mm-hmm.
awesome vendor. You can't lose with them.
Great, and that's actually been, it's funny you say that because I've only ever been on a few cruises, and, you know, we haven't cruised a whole lot, but every time it's been with Disney for that reason. Because my thought was, if we had such a good experience with Disney, and if I try another cruise line and I'm disappointed, well, then that's not good. So
yes.
It's funny that you should bring that up.
Yes, I mean,
fantastic.
I'm sorry, and I will say that other cruise lines are awesome as well. Disney's is just extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Oh, that's very interesting. I didn't, you know, I always had this thought in my mind, but. I guess I didn't really do a whole lot of research to compare against the other cruise lines. I just know that Disney had, at the time when I was making the booking, Disney had come out the top ranked in, I think, almost all of the categories that I was looking at. So that's the reason we went with them. But that's good to know. And then just to go back, Yvette, to your point about the deposit and putting down that initial payment or the deposit ahead of time, and this kind of goes a little bit to, I guess, travel insurance as well. What has been your experience with getting, and with planning so far in advance, there's always that question of, you know, what if I can't at the last minute or something comes up and I can't make it? So what has been your experience with that kind of thing? I mean, is it with on the travel insurance side where you would recommend getting insurance just in case you have to do that, or are the agencies typically flexible with that kind of thing to refund the deposit?
Yes, certain cruise lines and certain vendors are flexible with that. They have a mm-hmm. Cancellation timeline. So say you've placed
okay.
a deposit and so it's 200 days, no, yeah, let's say 200 days before the trip, yeah, you'll get all your money back. If it's 150 days before the trip, you'll still get all your money back. If it's 75 days before the trip, you'll get 75% back. And it goes in different increments all the way until a certain date where you won't be able to get your
right.
deposit back. And generally that's usually about 30 days before the trip, I believe. So I will say on top of that
okay.
that it's always good to get travel insurance. And you have to make sure that you get a travel insurance that has a cancellation waiver. So there's different levels of travel insurance
right.
as well. But yeah, always get travel insurance because you just never know what may happen before you leave on the trip or what may happen while you're on the trip. If you're in a different country, if they have medical care, you know, you hurt yourself and what their medical system is like, you don't know. You may have to
mm-hmm.
be helicoptered out of there. So it's always good to have that travel insurance. And it's usually only a fraction of the cost of your trip. So I would say, you know, for
right.
folks out there looking for a trip, always ask your travel agent about travel insurance options. It's always good to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really great advice. And Yvette, it looks like we have a caller dialing in from a 410 area code. So I'm
okay.
going to go ahead and take this call.
Okay.
Hi there. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Sharissa. This is Jessica. Thank you so much for having me on, and I'm really enjoying the topic. I have a question for Yvette.
Hello, sure. Jessica. Hi, Jessica. Welcome. Thank you for dialing in. You can go ahead.
So my question is, one of the things that you were talking about is long-term travel. I was wondering, two questions, actually. My first question is a passport required if you are on a cruise ship and you are going to, say, Alaska or maybe the Caribbean or the Mediterranean? And then my second question is, I am a single girl, so if I wanted to get a group of girls together and take a trip, would you recommend a resort trip or a cruise trip?
So to answer your first question,
would I need a passport?
Passport, yes.
Travel.
So it will depend. For cruise, it will depend on where your ship leaves from port and where it returns to port. So
okay.
Say, for instance, for an Alaskan cruise, say your departure port is Seattle, Washington. But when you return, you're returning to Saskatchewan in Canada. You will need a passport. If it's starting and beginning in the continental U.S. or its territories, you do not need a passport. However, I will always suggest that someone has a passport because you will be visiting other countries sometimes you'll be visiting other countries on those on that cruise. It'll stop at different countries and different ports. So I would always suggest to have that in the event that there's just some hiccup where it's just like, you never want to get stuck in another country without your passport or
right.
not being able to get back on the ship without your passport.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a two-sided answer. So sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But me as a travel agent, I will always suggest that you have it.
Okay.
That sounds good. Okay. And now to answer your second question, it kind of depends on your group and what kinds of the girls would like to do.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, a cruise, there's a lot of stuff to do. There's a lot of different activities, a lot of different venues. So it's always going to be something that will fit everyone on that cruise ship, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as a resort, like flying directly to a resort, you may be a little more specific with going to a particular resort, but then you'll have you have your spa, you'll have your excursions, you'll be able to tour an island for more than one day. It just kind of depends on what the group wants to do and, what the makeup of the group is, if they want a lot of activities or want to relax. It just kind of depends. So either would be fine, but if you're going for bachelorette party. A bachelorette party, you may want to be on an island.
Okay.
And it's just because you're stationary, you have different places you can go, explore that island. You can see different resorts, you can see different beaches, and go to different clubs and parties. Now, you can do the same thing on a boat, but you are confined to that boat until you get to another port and you can go venture out then.
Okay. Wow.
I hope that's helpful.
So much yes, and thank you so much for the information. It gives me a lot to think about, but I really appreciate you as a travel agent saying that, even though a passport may not be needed in certain aspects, but you always recommend, and that's good information. So I'll definitely take that into consideration when I'm thinking about going on a cruise.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jessica. Did you have any other questions?
I certainly don't. Thank you so much, and I'm really enjoying the show.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thanks for calling in.
You too. That was a really, really good question, Yvette, and that's actually a good segue to one of the other questions that I was going to ask you in terms of types of vacations. And I know, you know, different people, different groups have so many different preferences, especially with bigger groups, as far as the types of vacation, like some people like adventure, and they want to be on the move, they want to be on the go all the time. Some people want to go on vacation purely for relaxation purposes, and then there's others who like to travel for more of the cultural aspect and look for destinations that are more, you know, kind of more in line with that. So how have you kind of tackled that, especially with large groups? That's got to be quite a challenge with people, you know, wanting different things out of a vacation.
It is. And generally for large groups, I always suggest a cruise. Only because the cruise is so all-inclusive and it has so many different things to do. You can almost guarantee that everyone would have a good time on a cruise versus going to Panama and doing eco tours, you know, which may not be good for elderly people who may not be able to walk and climb hills, may not be good for children who have a short attention span and want to just rip and run. So though the cruise lines have so many activities around the clock that if you get bored on a cruise, I'm not going to say something's wrong with you, but you're really not trying to have a good vacation because there's always something to do. Even for that person who's not so active or not so happy all the time, I mean, you can find a corner and read a book in a quiet spot on a cruise ship. You know, so the cruise has so much to offer. I mean, but like you said, there's so many different types of vacations that you could choose from. I mean, there's all-inclusive vacations. There are, you know, like I said, the eco tours. You have guided tours like for African safaris. Different, so many different things. Anything you can think of that you may want to do, it's probably out there.
Right, yeah. I think that's part of the fun, too. You know, part of the fun of getting those questions answered when you're sitting down with you know, with the group and trying to find out what are their interests, what is it that they want to get out of the vacation and all of that. But I totally agree with you with the cruises. I mean, one of the things that kind of surprised me, and it probably shouldn't, but when the first time that I cruised with, and I have my daughter who at the time was, I think she went on her first cruise when she was about 6 or 7, and I was under the impression that even though, you know, we're on this cruise and there's tons of activities and tons of things to do, that I would have to be with her just because of her age. But they're really, I mean, they do such a fantastic job of covering all the bases. I mean, they have so many things for the kids to do around the clock, adults, tweens, teens, I mean, just you name it. And then, of course, you have the shore excursions for, you know, for people who want to go out and be adventurous. And then there's definitely the cultural aspect of things. Like we went to Cozumel and Key West and all of those kind of areas. And really there was something for everyone at all times. There was just no lack of a variety. And that's one of the things that's good about the cruise ships, too, is they don't have, even though they have a lot of scheduled activities, but it's not like you have to follow their schedule. They've got so many different things to choose from. So, yeah, I love that point. That would definitely, I can see how that would be a good choice for larger groups.
It is. I mean, and when you mention the kids' activities, you're right. They have something for all ages of kids. I mean, even babies. They have something for all ages that the parents don't have to be with the children all the time. They're with certified caretakers, and your child is safe, and they're having fun. And a lot of times, the child doesn't want to come back to the room. You know, we were on a cruise in 2013 with my family and friends, and my niece was in one of those kiddie arenas. You know, she was just like there all day doing her thing. And when I think it was about 9 o'clock rolled around is when they were supposed to go back with their families, she asked if she could stay longer. You know, she was happy there. She was having fun. They were doing things. So she didn't really care to be with mom and dad. And mom and dad were like, okay, cool. You know, we can keep on having fun and we can hang out at the bar or wherever and not worry about her. So those things are really good when it comes to cruise ships. But they also have that on some resorts as well. They have kiddie clubs on resorts as well. So, you know, we can, if someone's looking for something like that to just be stationary on an island at one particular resort, we can look for that too. There are plenty of resorts that have that same feature.
Oh, that's interesting, because I never heard that mentioned a whole lot in terms of the options for kids at resorts. I guess in my mind, I always thought with resorts, you're so much more limited. But that's a good point, that some of the resorts have really, really good kids programs, and that would be worth looking into.
Definitely.
Great. And one of the other things I will throw out there as well, for any parents listening in and wondering, you know, what would be a good option for the kids is on the Disney cruise, and I don't know about the other ones, Yvette, you probably know better than I do as far as where the kids go. For safety reasons and security reasons, they had these little, I guess, tracking devices, for lack of a better word, these little wristbands that the kids couldn't remove. And they would know where the child was at all times. And so as a parent, that just gave me so much peace of mind knowing that even if she's hiding and, you know, playing hide and go seek and whatever the case is, if she's out of view, they still know they can track her to the exact spot that she's in using that little device. So
yes.
I was just blown away by the technology and just everything, the way they incorporate all of that.
Extraordinarily Disney. They are awesome.
Yes. Okay, so is that just a Disney thing then, or have you seen that on other cruise ships?
I have not seen it on other cruise ships. I'm not exactly sure. I know that, I believe that the child has wristbands, but I don't know that it was necessarily a tracking device. And I think it was sort of a number or something that was on that wristband that they would know who the parent was. You know, only a certain parent could pick them up. Only certain people can pick them up from that.
Oh, right.
Right from that room. So I'm not sure exactly.
Got it. Okay. So let's go back to the group travel and kind of planning and all of that. Where is a, because we've covered so much already, but what's a good place to start? If someone's listening in and they want to, say, plan a big group vacation, maybe it's a family reunion or something like that, where would you suggest that they start?
Well, I would suggest they first look at a map. Where do you want to go? Because only one person is going to come to me. I guess, you know, there'll be a group leader, and that person will come to me, and I'll say, where do you all want to go? You know, if they don't know, I'll say, go consort with your group and see where you guys want to go. Look at a map. Just look at a map and see, like, where you haven't been, where you would dream to go, and let me know where that is, and we can start from there. But, you know, to also do some research on whatever location they pick, you know, so say I'm going to use Panama again as an example. You know, people say, well, yeah, I want to go to Panama. I hear it's beautiful there. Do your research on Panama. Because for me, when I was looking into Panama, Panama was beautiful, beautiful coastlines, beautiful beaches. But Panama is mostly, and I shouldn't say mostly, but they have a lot of eco tours. There's a lot of rainforest tours, a lot of eco-friendly tours, a lot of hiking trails and biking trails. They do have beaches, but some of them are not swimmable. So you can look at a very beautiful beach, but you can't get in it. So, you know, I would ask someone to do their research on a location first before definitely saying they want to go there. You know, because if you have a big group and you're going to Panama, who's going to be happy? You. I mean, maybe because just you want to go, but you really need to look into it to see what the country or the city offers before you make a firm decision.
Right, that's a good point. And then what are some of the most overlooked things that people need to consider when traveling? I know you've mentioned a lot about taking, you know, the different, or taking everyone's interest into consideration and looking at different locations and that kind of thing. But what are some of the most overlooked things that people need to consider that they don't typically think of?
Yeah. So what I've learned, and I'm going to use myself as an example, and it may be true for others, is the tipping and gratuity customs for a country or a city or just for the travel industry itself. I think we resolve in our minds that, you know, we've paid for our trip, we've saved up for it, we've paid for it, we've saved up our spending money, we know what tours we're going to do, we know how much money we'll need when we get on this trip, but we forget about gratuities. And so I would suggest to someone, what I've started doing was making sure I had, you know, a lot of $1 bills, so that you can you can tip your bellboys, you can tip your baggage handlers, you can tip your waitresses and waiters and not feel bad, because I found that when I didn't have those smaller bills, I had bigger bills, and I'm like, well, I can't give them my $50 bill, you know, and then I feel bad for not tipping them, you know. So I started thinking, like, okay, we have to make sure we have a lot of $1 bills so we can tip accordingly. Because, you know, the travel industry is tough, and a lot of countries that we visit are much poorer than the United States. So, you know, we want to make sure that we tip those folks and thank them for, you know, allowing us to visit their countries and their ports.
Yeah, that is such a great point. And I can see how that would be one of the really easily, you know, overlooked things, especially when you're planning financially for the trip. And also another thing is, I know a lot of resorts and even the cruise lines will have beforehand, you can go either on their website or you can find out what they recommend in terms of the percentages. And I know there's some places that they say, like maybe the all-inclusive places that even mention that you should not, you know, they don't recommend tipping, or they don't, it's all included or something like that. So that's always a good place to kind of look to see what are the requirements, what's the local kind of, you know, the norms for wherever you're going.
Definitely, yeah. We found that since Vincent and I don't have children, we tend to travel to the all-adult resorts. And a lot of those are all-inclusive, and they do not allow tipping. Like, tipping is strictly prohibited. But the way that we operate, you know that people in the service industry don't get paid a lot of money. So we know that we still don't tell anybody. I hope nobody's listening in the travel industry, but we even still tip those people when we're not supposed to, because, you know, you just want to thank them for doing a good job, even though the resort says the gratuities are included. Yeah, how do we know? So we have to, you know, we kind of sneak and tip folks sometimes.
I'm sure they really appreciate that. So you're not going to get any complaints from them. So talking about the planning aspect again, what are some of the challenges that people face when planning travel, even while they're, you know, when traveling?
Well, I'll say if it's a first-time traveler, everything about the trip can be challenging. I mean, if you don't know how things flow, you know, from parking at the airport to catching a shuttle to figuring out what terminal you're supposed to be going into, to checking in at the ticket counter, you know, all those different things can be very challenging and very scary. If it's unfamiliar, it can be, you know, really frightening. And also, when in a different country, understanding the local transportation, from the, you know, like using their public transportation or, you know, catching taxis and what's the best deal or what will get you there faster. A lot of that local travel is very daunting and challenging for a lot of folks, because, you know, you want to, you have your set amount of money that you plan to spend on the trip, but you don't want to spend it on catching cabs all the time. So, you know, some folks may want to try the local transportation, but it's good to look into that ahead of time as well, because that can be very scary. And, you know, even Vincent and I went to Hawaii and we caught the public bus. And it terrified me because there were so many people on, and then there were so many more. I mean, they just kept stopping and picking up more people. I'm like, this can't be regulated. This can't be safe, you know.
Yeah.
So those kinds of things can be challenging, you know, so something else to look into.
Oh, that's a really good point. And one other thing I will throw in there, and I'm the type of person who, especially if it's kind of new territory for me, like the very first time I was planning to go on a cruise or to travel to a new location, and I wasn't sure of the, you know, the location and just what to expect there, I asked a ton of questions. I mean, if I think about the first time I was on the phone with one of the Disney travel agents, I promise you I kept on the phone for at least 2 hours, and I think she just was so sick of me by the end of it. But I had so many questions. So what I would say is, you may not want to go to extremes like me, but I would say do not hesitate to ask questions, because the more you ask and the more you know, the more comfortable you're going to feel on vacation. And the last thing you want to do is go on your vacation feeling stressed and kind of overwhelmed by all the newness of it and, you know, not knowing what to expect.
That is true, and that's a good benefit of using a travel agent as well. They can look into those things for you and get some of those questions answered for you.
Absolutely. So Yvette, as far as the locations go, I know with the cruise it's a little easier because it's kind of set as far as the ports and all of that, and a lot of times you can get all of that information ahead of time. But if we're selecting a location, what do you recommend that people find out about a specific location before making the trip?
So I would say that you need to know that location's currency, what currency is accepted, what transportation mm-hmm. options they have available.
Okay.
And definitely check to see if that particular location is on any country's travel alert list. You know, with a lot of things going on in the world today, there's you just have to be careful of where you go. You know, say I want to go to Honduras, but mm-hmm. there could be a war going on in Honduras. So just make sure you check your local governments or your federal government's travel site to see if that country or that location is on a high alert list.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a really good point. And also that would be, that's another big advantage of using a travel agent is that they would be able to alert you to those kind of things as well. So you don't have to do that by yourself and do the homework and, you know, try to figure things out by yourself.
That is true.
Yeah. So what are some of the steps or the questions that we can ask to kind of help us plan that great getaway?
So as I mentioned earlier, the most important thing is deciding on a date because that date dictates everything. It's going to dictate all of the pricing. It's going to dictate, you know, what if the particular location you're traveling to is in high season or low season. It's going to dictate those prices, and it's going to dictate how many people are there at that time. And, you know, so you want to think about all of that. And like you said, a travel agent can help you with that. But just looking at that date, setting that date, and understanding what comes with that date. So say you want to go to Miami on Easter break. Maybe not a good idea because they're going to be flooded with college kids on Easter break.
Right.
If you're, you know, unless that's what you're looking for. Unless that's what you're looking for. So, you know, that kind of thing, deciding on that date and then taking it from there, you know, thinking about what adventures you like to do, what activities, if there's any cultural mm-hmm. things you'd like to see, any historic sites you may like to see, different things like that.
Oh, that's a really good point. And when you just said that, I thought about something else as well. Sometimes people like to plan vacations around events. Like, I don't know, like Mardi Gras or, you know, something like that that may be going on in that location. So obviously that would play a part into selecting that date as well.
Definitely. And if you're looking for Mardi Gras, you want to plan that well in advance as well because things fill up so quickly. Now, you can still probably get the site or hotel you like, but it may cost you mm-hmm. twice as much, you know, if you're waiting late. So always plan in advance, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Those are some really, really great tips. So I'm going to kind of switch gears for just a minute, Yvette, and I want to take a quick opportunity to let everyone know that the show on what you need to know about planning your vacation is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen on any device. And if you sign up at our URL, audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio, you get one free audiobook and a month free trial of the service. And we really appreciate your support with that. And then also I want to remind our listeners as well, we've got about 20 minutes left until the end of the show. So I want to remind everyone, if you'd like, you can feel free to dial in with any questions or comments. That number is 646-716-9397. Again, that number is 646-716-9397. So Yvette, this is just so much fun. I've got to thank you so much for this information. I have learned so much from you already. I've been taking notes like crazy because I definitely want to start, you know, thinking about where I'm going next and what I want to do as far as travel. So this has been amazing. Thank you.
Great. I'm glad it's helpful.
It is. And now, like I was telling you before we started the show, one of my favorite questions for you is any travel stories that you'd like to share? Either, you know, maybe it could be a travel disaster or a really good experience that you've had in, you know, all of your years of travel. Just anything you'd like to share with us. Any lessons learned from that as well.
So I will tell you two quick stories. One is kind of funny. One is kind of, you'll be amazed at, I think. So my first real trip. Now, our parents used to take us to Pennsylvania every year for our church's annual camp meeting every summer. That was our vacation. That's what we looked forward to. So that was all I knew about vacations. And then once I got married, I was able to go on a honeymoon. So we went to Cancun for our honeymoon. Now, I have to let everybody know, this was almost 18 years ago, so this is why it's really going to shock you. So we went on our honeymoon to Cancun. We flew on Mexicana Air. I don't even know if they're still in business now. But Mexicana Air served a real breakfast. They had eggs, bacon, and French toast sticks. I mean, a serious breakfast. You do not find that on airlines anymore. Right. You barely get peanuts or water, and if you get those, you have to pay for it.
Right.
But, I mean, we had a real breakfast. I was so – I felt like I was like royalty or something, but everybody got it. But this is something that's unheard of now. So that was that was the first thing. I was like, okay, nobody's going to believe this. But, yeah, I mean, they really serve real breakfast. But – now, I think my favorite trip thus far, and maybe it's my second favorite trip now that I've been someplace else, but my second favorite trip was to Hawaii. We went there, and we stayed on Waikiki Beach. And, you know, we were doing different tours and excursions. The mountains were beautiful. The valleys were green. We were able to drink spring water coming from the mountain. Very scenic, very beautiful, very, very picturesque. And we went to a beach, and we were going to boogie board. Now, I'm not a good swimmer. I've just learned to swim maybe 10, 15 years ago. Just learned to swim. And I'm not a good swimmer. So, you know, we're out on these boogie boards, and they were teaching us how to boogie board, and you would kind of wait for the wave to come in, and you kind of catch the wave, and you ride the boogie board in the shore. So I was doing it. I did it a few times. I did it perfectly well. One time, I must have done something wrong, and a wave just hit me and crashed me, and I tumbled, and I was tumbled up on shore. And I got up, and our tour guide's like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm okay. I think I'm okay." You know, after I kind of coughed the water out of my lungs. I'm like, "Yeah, I'm okay." He says, "You did a Waka-Hooey flip." I'm like, "Oh, is that a good thing?" He's like, "No, it's not."
Oh, okay. That sounded like a very cool thing to be able to see your friends.
It did, but it wasn't such a good thing. But I was able to get back out, and I did it again. My husband looked at me. He said, "Are you going back out there?"
Oh.
I'm like, "Yeah, I'm going back out there. That was fun." So I went back out and did it again, and, you know, that was one of my crazy adventures.
Good for you. Wow, yeah. Congratulations on off back up and getting out there. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, I love
that
because vacations sometimes make you do that. You know, it makes you get out of your comfort zone and try new and fun and exciting stuff, and it really helps you discover, you know, who you are and what you enjoy, and that's just part of the fun.
It does, because you never know when you're going to get back to that location, and you don't want to ever say, "I wish I would have."
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. Wow. Well, thank you for sharing. That inspires me to want to go out on that board and do a, what is it called again? I've got to get that name right.
The Waka-Hooey flip on a boogie board.
The Waka-Hooey flip. Okay. That's going to be my goal. It sounds like a lot of fun. Oh, that is awesome. So tell me about some of the other vacations. And I know you're a beach girl, Yvette, so you like the water and all of that. Is Vincent the same? Does he like the same destinations that you do?
He does. We always like to try something different. We haven't gotten to the stage where we're ready to do the eco trips yet or the totally just cultural trips. We still want to be active. We still want to go to the beach. We still want to, you know, and we'll do rainforest tours and see, you know, the different rainforest animals, but we want to be able to get to the beach and horseback ride on the beach or just sit out on the beach all day and, you know, soak up some sun, see some sights. But yeah, I think the beach is my thing. I don't think that we've gotten to the point where we want to go to the mountains to ski. I mean, we will go to the mountains to ski, but maybe just for a weekend. Uh-huh. I will probably never do a full week ski trip, not at this point. Vincent doesn't like the cold, so we're definitely going to be in the warm weather climates.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, I totally hear you on that. I'm the same way as far as, you know, being a beach girl. I definitely love the idea of cruising and the idea of just being able to be on the beach. But I will tell you, I did do a trip to Colorado just for the experience, a one-time thing. It actually ended up being fun. I think we were out there for a little less than a week, actually skiing. But I was so sore after that, and I thought, I mean, it's fun being out there and trying new things. But one of the cool things about that is you don't have to revisit those locations either. You know, you can have your fun and your adventure, and you can decide, you know what, maybe I do want to do this or again, or no, we can kind of cross that off the list and move on. But there's always so much to be learned and enjoyed in that experience.
Definitely.
So, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I can see how it would be a little challenging to do those kind of different, you know, very different trips and adventures with larger groups. So I definitely get your point about, you know, wanting to be, I guess, mindful of everyone's preferences and all of that, and maybe leaning more towards a cruise or certain types of vacations that would take everyone into consideration versus doing something like that, like a ski trip, where, you know, you're going to limit a lot of people who are not really into that kind of thing.
Exactly. It's for a younger, more active, I shouldn't even say younger, it's just for more active crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So as far as trips that you've planned, Yvette, what was the most fun trip that you've planned either for yourself or for someone else or for a group?
I think that it was our family reunion cruise. And that was in 2010.
Okay.
Yeah, it was for our family reunion. And we went on a cruise right out of Baltimore. And it's so funny because we ended up getting, well, a storm ended up brewing and we had to kind of go around the storm, so we weren't able to stop at all of our destinations. But with that group and planning for a reunion, what was the most fun about it was that, for one, you know, we got the family together. And it ended up being a small group, maybe 18 to 20 of us. It was a small group. But I was able to plan a group activity on board. And the cruise line helped me with this. You know, you can choose different activities. You can have a dinner or you can have a luncheon or a party, a private party for your group, whatever you want to do. But what I decided to do was do a scavenger hunt. And they gave me a guideline of different things you can have people look for. And I changed some of those things. I changed some of those things so that people could, you know, really, so it could really be a challenge for them. Because a lot of things you can find around the ship. But we did a scavenger hunt. And what I did was I paired an elderly member of the family up with a younger member of the family. Because what we didn't want was two elderly people together going around this huge ship trying to find things versus, you know, if you have that younger person with you, kind of tell that younger person, hey, go there and get that, and I'll be here waiting for you to come back with it. So it allowed me to pair up an elderly person and a younger person together, and it allowed that family interaction with someone you maybe not normally interact with in the family because, you know, if you have the 70-year-old eldest person there and then you have an 18-year-old with them, they would probably never even get together to even have a conversation, but they had to work together to get these things on this scavenger list. So that, I think, was the most fun. And then we all went to the beach. They had this particular cruise line had their own private beach, so we stopped at their private beach. And we were all on the beach just kind of hanging together, playing in the water, having drinks and, you know, sand and just talking and just having a good time. So I think that was the most fun trip that I've planned.
Oh, that sounds amazing. And you are so, oh my goodness, so great at coming up with these wonderful ideas to kind of incorporate everyone and get everyone together and having fun, because it's not always easy, you know, like you were saying, with the different age ranges and everything that you have to work with. But that scavenger hunt sounds incredible. What a great idea to be able to do that. And I love the fact that the cruise lines, and I'm guessing some of the resorts might also be able to accommodate something like that with groups as well.
I would think so, yeah. I've not ever planned one for a group at a resort, but I'm sure that they can accommodate any special requests like that.
Yeah, and that's another awesome thing about using you as a travel agent, Yvette. Since you already have so much experience and so many ideas around these things, I'm sure you'd be able to help anyone who, you know, is trying to plan a similar trip with a group of people with different interests and come up with some of these ideas based on what would work for that group. That's just a lot of fun.
Yes, absolutely.
Great. So one of the other questions I wanted to ask you, and this is kind of going back a little bit to location. So I know you had talked about, you know, places on the travel alert list, and of course we want to make sure that we're asking our travel agents what those places are that we need to avoid, or just making sure that the place that we want to visit is not on that list. What I would like to ask you, Yvette, is apart from that, like we know to avoid those places, but there are other places that may not necessarily be on that list, but where, you know, people are saying you want to avoid that place. It's, you know, maybe not the best place to visit. So what are some things in terms of that people need to take into consideration when looking at locations? I mean, do we want to avoid those type of places altogether, or is there like some kind of criteria, some kind of something that we need to look at to question and say, is this really a risk, or are we okay going there? And I'll give you an example of this. The reason this came up for me is because we had planned a trip to Mexico a few years ago, and I didn't think anything of it. We went down to Puerto Vallarta. It was a beautiful place. We didn't have any issues at all. And we got back, and when I told my family and friends that I had gone down there, they were like, "Oh my goodness, you know, that's not the greatest place to go," and all of that. But of course, we were fine. But I'm just curious, like in that case, is there anything, any questions that to ask or anything to take into consideration for those types of things that are not necessarily on the travel alert list, but maybe some locations that we may want to think about?
Yeah, definitely. The State Department's travel.state.gov website has a list of all of those not to visit, you know, suggested not to visit locations. But what you see, like in reference to Mexico, you know, your family may have heard, yeah, there's people getting kidnapped in Mexico, you shouldn't go to Mexico. But if you look at the site, it will specifically say Mexico City is the area of consideration. Right. Like Cancun, Puerto Vallarta, Cozumel were not on that list, even though they're in Mexico. You know, when people hear Mexico, it's just Mexico. But, you know, it was...
absolutely.
It pinpoints a certain location. So, you know, you can check that site and read, because it'll give you a bit of verbiage on why they are on the alert list and what's been going on. And you can just kind of make your decision from there. So Mexico, they'll say, yeah, Mexico City, yeah, don't go there. People are getting kidnapped. Americans are getting kidnapped. Yeah, okay. They're not getting kidnapped in Cancun. I can go to Cancun, and it's still Mexico. And by the way, I love Mexico. It's one of my favorite places to visit. I mean, and even a lot of places, a lot of the Caribbean islands, you'll hear not to go to certain areas. Like, say, for instance, Jamaica, they'll say not to go to Kingston. You know, stay in the resort areas. Don't go off your resort. You'll be fine if you stay on your resort. But, you know, you're really not seeing the country. So you have to kind of pay attention to that as well. But some places where things have been in such unrest for so long, you may want to consider either an alternative location, or if you happen to know someone that lives in that area or that in that country that can help guide you or you can stay with, you know, sure, go and stay with them. But I would not suggest going on your own.
Right, that's a really, really good point. Yvette, can you give us that the website again, please? I missed that.
Sure.
What's the website to go and check and which of those locations are on that travel alert list?
It's www.travel.state.gov. And you can also find information for your passport on that site as well.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Yeah, that is really handy, really good information to know.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, and we are almost at the top of the hour. I can't believe the time has gone by
so
fast. Yeah, I know we covered a lot, but I feel like we could go on, you know, we could go on talking probably for hours on this topic. You are just such a wealth of information. So thank you so much. I want to give you a big thank you for agreeing to do the show today, and thank you for sharing all of your wisdom and your travel stories with us. It's been amazing. So thank you, Yvette, and answering our questions.
Well, thanks for having me. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to put this out there for folks.
Oh, no worries at all. And I definitely want to highly recommend, Yvette, if you're thinking of booking, you know, group travel, and you just have some questions and you want to kind of explore that, I would highly recommend reaching out to her. As you can tell from our show today, she's just an expert all the way around. So, definitely highly recommend her. And then, Yvette, if you'd like to share any closing thoughts with our listeners, and then also tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you if they'd like to contact you.
Sure. Final tip that I like to share is, you know, do your research. You know, do your research, figure out where you'd like to go, run that by a travel agent. I always suggest using a travel agent just so you have that person that can handle all the headaches for you. They'll do all the research, they'll do all the booking, they'll send you on your way, and there'll also always be a number that you can call back to in the event that something happens on the trip where, hey, I need to figure out how to use my travel insurance because I need to get back. You know, we can help guide you through those kinds of things. So definitely use a travel agent. And, you know, you can do your research online first if you like, but I would suggest using a travel agent for your booking.
Great. And I love that you mentioned that during the trip, because I think a lot of times we think of a travel agent helping us to the point where we leave in our trip, but sometimes we forget that even when we're out there, you can still reach out, you know, we can still reach out to our travel agent, and if we have any issues or questions, and they're going to be there to help us through that as well.
Exactly.
A great point there.
Yeah.
And your email address, Yvette, if anyone would like to get in touch with you?
Sure. My email address is travelwithvandvictor@yahoo.com. Travel with V and V.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And I've got a quote as my final thought or comment for the evening relating to travel. And it says, though we travel the world over to find the beautiful, we must carry it with us or we find it not. And that's by Ralph Waldo Emerson. And the reason that resonated with me is based on, you know, what we were talking about earlier as well, is that a lot of times when we go on these adventures and we travel, we sometimes find a piece of ourselves that we don't discover until we're really out there and experiencing the world. So that's something that just kind of stuck out to me and was just a really beautiful quote that I wanted to share with everyone. Okay, so this is the wrap-up of the show, and I want to thank everyone for joining us. If anyone would like to reach out to me, you can contact me at info@charissasebastian.com, and my website is www.charissasebastian.com. All my social media links can be found on my website. And I mentioned at the beginning of the show that there was a special offer for that retreat that we have coming up. And actually, I had the privilege of having Yvette at our first retreat in Dallas a few weeks ago. And there's another women's spa retreat coming up in Dallas on the 14th of March. And we would like to offer a 10% discount to our listeners for that event here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And that discount code is SSBLCRN, and that can be used at stopsmilebreathe0315.splashthat.com, and that's on the page that you access the radio show from, so you can always refresh that page and get that information on the page as well. And we would love to have you join us if you are in the Dallas area or if you can get to the Dallas area on March the 14th. So to find out more about the Life Coach Radio Network, you can go to www.lifecoachradionetwork.com, and you can find information on our coaches and also on future shows. I'd also like to take this opportunity to let you know about some of our upcoming shows. Tomorrow, on February 17th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, there's a show entitled Alpha Check 5 Steps, Moving from Pain to Power, with Danielle Mercutio, and Mal Duane. And then on February 18th at 8 p.m. Eastern is the show Listening to Your Inner Voice, The Power of Using Your Intuition, with Pasha Cook, Danielle Gibson, and Tamara Cosley Robinson. And then on February 20th at noon Eastern is the show Create Your Bliss with Nika Annan, where she'll be interviewing Dr. John Pulch. My next show is on Monday, March 16th on Life Coach Radio Network at the same time, 9 p.m. Eastern. Thank you so much again, Yvette, and thank you to our listeners for tuning in. And thanks to Jessica for calling in as well. Much love, peace, and blessings. Until next time. Bye.
Bye, Sarissa. Thank you.
Bye, Yvette.